Call this meeting to order. Roll call, please.
Member Wallace.
Here.
Member Ogren.
Here.
Member Tally.
Here.
Member Garing.
Here.
And Chairman Waggy.
Here. And I think we have one more person coming. The first item is the annual fiscal year rotation where Pismo Beach gives up the chair and Oceano takes it over. So let that happen. Mr. Chair.
I got the gavel. And our new vice chair is the representative from CSA Area, County Service Area 12, Mr. Wallace.
I got to wake up to that.
So at this point in time, we have an opportunity for public comment to address the committee on items that are not on the agenda. And seeing none, we'll move on.
I just have an announcement to make.
Okay.
That for Public Works staff, we'll be having a new accountant representing Zone 3. That's Joanne Hilker. If she could raise her hand and smile.
What's happening to the old person?
Well, she can come up here and tell us if she wants, but she's...
She's out of here.
She's out of here. Yes, she is.
The prior. I stand corrected.
And I'm out of here as well. This will be my last meeting. Andrea Montes from our Utilities Department will be acting as secretary from here on out.
Well, I think we should all thank John and Jennifer for all their good years of service then.
Thank you.
Thanks, John and Jennifer.
Thank you.
Next item, 4, is approval of the meeting minutes of May 21st, 2015.
I would move approval.
I'll second.
Okay, and let's let the record show that committee member Karen Bright has shown up.
Shown up.
Is here, attending, ready to go.
Just a horrific thing. Thank you.
Quickly, any public comment on the minutes? And seeing none, we have a motion and a second. Any committee discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, and the item passes. Moving on to agenda item 5, operations report.
Joe Phillips will be giving that report today.
Good evening, board. As of today, our lake elevation at Lopez is 475.05 feet. Our storage is 17,469 acre feet. The capacity is at 35.5%. Rainfall to date in inches, 0. Plant production at the facility is 2.3 million gallons a day. Our filter range, our turbidity is 0.01 to 0.02. Terminal visibility, the reservoir at the facility is 11 feet. Downstream release is 5 million gallons a day to the creek. State water production is 2.78 million gallons a day. And that's it. And if there are any comments or any questions I could answer.
John?
Joe, you said the downstream release is 5 million gallons a day?
Yes, sir. And it got bumped today.
Pardon me?
It got bumped up today.
What was it before?
4.3.
Sounds like it's quite a bit more than what we were releasing as of the last Zone 3 TAC meeting.
Yes, sir. I think there had been a few calls in regard to no surface water in the creek.
So the ag guys are happy?
We shall see.
But they usually, the ag guys are happy.
Yeah, they usually are.
How far is the water making it downstream?
It made it to the... just past US 101, John, at the trying to remember the name of the farm across the street from Arroyo Grande High School.
Saratari,
thank you very much. And that's where it was my last.
Okay, thank you.
Joe, so the city of San Luis Obispo recently was reported in the paper of having THM issues, and our plant, though, is not facing the same risks.
Always the same risk, but we happen to, at this point right now, Pavo, we feed with chloramines, we disinfect with chloramines, and it keeps us at a good goal level. And, I mean, we face the same precursors that San Luis does and every water purveyor does, but we're within our limits.
Do you know if the city is operating with treating with chlorine? Or
City San Luis Obispo, ozone?
Ozone.
If I'm not mistaken, yes.
Okay. But our THM numbers are at least looking good.
Our THM numbers are very good.
Any other questions for Joe?
I was just going to ask about taste or the quality of the odor and so forth. Did we have any episodes recently of any odor problems?
Yes, we've had a few call-ins, and we've narrowed it to MIB and geosmin, and these are odor causer blue-green algae, and it's usually after a bloom, after the cell starts to destruct and goes away, we have a gas off from the resultant algae, and that's where you get the earthy, musty taste, and we're doing the best we can with it. We try to minimize that by having the correct ratio of chloramines to our disinfectant, have our residence time very low at our water treatment plant, and then feed carbon, powder activated carbon.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Any other questions or questions from the public? Thanks, Joe.
Well, thank you very much.
Next, we have a few informational items. Hey, John.
Yeah, and I'll take item A here. That's the climate update. First graphic in your packet is the USDA or the U.S. drought monitor, and it's precipitation-based. So obviously, it's showing that we're still in a severe drought mode for most of the state of California because we haven't seen any precipitation this spring or summer. And then flipping on to the next one, the NOAA forecasts. Again, persistent warmer than average temperatures are projected, actually pretty high probability that there'll be high levels of higher temperatures. And as we know, that isn't good for snowpack. And then the last one, precipitation, probably what we're most interested in. We're starting to hear predictions of El Nino again, and the models, the NOAA models, are definitely showing that. You can see on the right for the July, this meeting, August, September, and October, the above average prediction for precipitation in Southern California, which is representative of an El Nino weather pattern. And I think technically an El Nino, I caution, because last year we were expecting an El Nino as well, but we saw and we knew that that doesn't necessarily mean we're going to get above average precipitation. And ultimately, the factors that trigger a designation of El Nino happen. They occurred later in the year, and I think it was seawater temperatures that triggered that, and those seawater temperatures have remained high, which is why everyone's so excited about this being an El Nino, because we're sort of technically in it now, and this winter should result, have a higher probability of having higher precipitation. But I say that with the asterisk of it doesn't always result in above average precipitation. So we'll see how the forecasters do this winter. Cross our fingers.
Any questions? Thanks, John.
Mm-hmm.
HCP update.
Mark Hutchinson is going to be giving updates on BNC.
Good evening, members of the committee. I'm Mark Hutchinson, Deputy Director, County Public Works. On the HCP front, we are very pleased to be making progress as per the actual schedule, which, as you recall, was, compared to what was going on, extremely aggressive. So eCorp has completed the model, the first development of the model, and they're in the process of the calibration process. So they're making model runs to see if the model will produce historic results to match what we already measured. The good news on the calibration effort is that I'm informed that it is a much more straightforward, accurate, and easy process than calibrating a groundwater model, partly because the water's on the surface, partly because of the measuring devices that we have are much more sure as to what actually happens, stream gauges, reservoir level, rainfall, and all of those sorts of things. Still the potential for variability that has to be adjusted in the model to make it work, but much faster than we're all used to when we're dealing with a groundwater model that has a lot more inputs and a lot more gaps in data, so to speak. We've also had eCorp, again, the modeling consultant, who's also tasked with producing the water availability analysis, which is essentially a part of the water rights permit What we're looking to do with that is show the State Water Board where the water right holders are, how much water they use, how much they need, and how much anything we do might affect that, either enhance it or need to be revised to respect senior water rights. That's a part of the permitting process. It'll also help us inform us about the effects of our downstream release program generally on downstream users. Not everyone has recorded water rights. Some have been written down, some not. Depends on how the water's been utilized over the years. One of the sub-consultants, Cleet Harris, has been out talking to the agriculturalists about crop irrigation and how much water they need and how much they use and historically and those sorts of things. That's connected to the water rights, but more forward-looking down the road to the development of the downstream release program, the EIRs, the economic effects of the different downstream programs and alternatives. We've also taken the 2011 downstream flow program and run it through the model just to see how the results of the previous model, which we did find some errors in, compared to what we're seeing now, to understand any magnitude of differences. All of that a precursor to reaching out to National Marine Fisheries Service, which was heavily involved in the last runs of the last model, which we now know has errors, so that we can rapidly get them up to speed on what the issues were previously, what's been done to correct it, and they also need to understand how our model works and have confidence in it that the results we're presenting to them are accurate. At the same time, now that's E-Corp and the technical people. The other side is H.T. Harvey, our authors and experts on the Endangered Species Act, authors of the HCP. They're connecting with E-Corp to look at some preliminary model runs and start understanding how the model works so that we can accurately describe the effects on fish and other species in the creek. So work progressing per schedule, still looking for end of summer to have E-Corp complete all of the tasks in their initial contract run. So we're very pleased at that. Any questions?
Water supply update.
Moving on. So as you know, this body made a recommendation about surplus water declaration. We were scheduled to go to the board April 14th, but then we had some better ideas, some folks did, that we started at your last meeting 2 months ago. The TAC looked at those and said, let's develop those ideas, and that is the recharacterization effort, which is to go back and with every party's agreement, change the water accounting method between State Water and Lopez Water. As you'll recall, last year at this time, we were over-delivering State Water, essentially moving stored State Water from San Luis Reservoir to Lopez. In the event there would be any interruption in the State Water project, we'd be able to meet the State Water subscriptions that we have and not have to have those folks draw too heavily on Lopez. At the end of the year, it was realized that the system did run. We'd built up a reserve of State Water in the reservoir, and the State Water contractors, who are also Lopez contractors, suggested that if we switch the accounting so that the stored water in the reservoir, the wet water, became Lopez, it would, per the low reservoir release plan, carry over into the accounts of the Lopez subcontractors that are also State Water contractors. That's not too complicated. Essentially, it takes water in the reservoir that would be State Water, owned by the district and available to State Water customers, converts it to Lopez water, hands it off to Lopez contractors, who can then, per their Lopez contracts, trade, sell, and negotiate water deals with the other Lopez contractors who might not have any access to that water in a pinch. So it's a contractual maneuver, if you will, that makes more flexibility for all of the Zone 3 people in dealing with the water resources that are here on the coast. Grover Beach City Council considered that a couple of weeks ago and agreed to waive a contract provision that relates to when we can do the accounting. So this will now go to the Board of Supervisors in a bit of a challenge of a presentation. We need to explain to the board what recharacterization is, then take them through surplus water, and then tell them, thank you for doing surplus water declaration per the contracts, but we need to remind you that the low reservoir release plan doesn't make that irrelevant, but modifies what you just did to be different results. So the staff just has a little bit of a challenge of writing staff reports. We'll also have the Board of Supervisors sitting as the county representing zone CSA 12 to agree to the contract waiver, and then immediately sitting as the flood control district on the other side of the contract to see if they also agree. We're hopeful that the flood control district and the county will agree on the same thing. They usually do. So it's just a challenge in the clerk organizing the agenda and the staff keeping the board understanding what's going on. We're not sure the method we're going to do that. Unfortunately, for all of us, the nearest date we could get is actually September 22nd. The board is engaged in some very complex stuff from now until then. But the numbers are there. The participants in the recharacterization, Oceano, Pismo Beach, and Avila Beach CSD have all agreed on how to divvy up the water, so to speak. So we're able to show that to them, and they can do their long-range planning. Now, John talked about the weather update. So I imagine that when the TAC reconvenes next month, one of the things we're going to talk about is what happens if we get a wet winter and the reservoir spills and the stored state water, whose water went over the dam, what happens to the water, each agency's carryover accounts. Questions like that.
Well, I think we're all going to be happy if the water goes over the spillway. So,
oh, for 5 or 10 minutes until I pose these questions to the TAC. So they will be a very busy group working to bring recommendations to your committee on how to handle these. I would remind everyone, as far as water supply goes, this is an important concept in the South County. The low reservoir response plan, although it affects the reservoir, and is triggered by both an emergency declaration of the board and reservoir levels, is operated with two key goals. First, take the pressure off the groundwater. And then second, stretch Lopez as far as we can. So if we get a wet winter and Lopez fills up, that would be wonderful. We're all looking forward to that. But the TAC and the county will be looking very closely at the groundwater situation. We may need to make a recommendation back to the board. Even if the reservoir goes above 20,000, the LRRP would still be in effect as long as there's an emergency declaration. So we might need to be prepared to go back to the board and ask them if they remove the countywide emergency declaration. Hopefully, if our groundwater is not in a good recovery mode, we may ask them to immediately institute an emergency declaration for Zone 3 related to groundwater so that the LRRP can continue to function, take the pressure off that resource, and avoid seawater intrusion. So a zillion moving parts. We're relying heavily on the expertise of the TAC, who I can report is fully engaged, in many ways way out in front of me on these issues because they know how it relates in the individual cities. So a lot of work going on behind the scenes, but the tools that the TAC put in place several years ago, primarily the LRRP, and now the ability to do recharacterization are producing very good results.
Any questions? Comments?
Question I have is, you've described how complicated, I mean, it is incredibly complicated. Is anybody opposed to this? Do you anticipate that somebody's going to show up at the county and say that this is a bad idea?
That's always a potential. There are other interests besides the municipalities and the farmers. I've had inquiries from, in-stream creek environmental interests about the creek, especially the lagoon, and have made it clear that our records are open to anyone. The reservoir consistently through the drought in the summer releases more than its inflow, so the drying condition in the lower creek and at the lagoon is not a function of the operation of Zone 3. Because some people naturally assume that if there's no water across the sandbar at the beach, it's because the county shut it off at the dam. But we do keep those records, and they're available. Several years ago, it was agencies. I think they're satisfied, but sometimes some different groups with their interests regarding environmental resources are concerned. And so far, everyone who's reviewed the situation and our operations has been satisfied that I guess we're operating on what's called the interim downstream release schedule, the IDRIS, another acronym, and another document that was produced out of the TAC several years ago. So far, so good. But there are folks who are interested in these things up and down the state. But I don't anticipate opposition at this point.
So in speaking about the water availability analysis then, and you had indicated that the consultant was doing outreach with Ag, are they anticipating actually documenting downstream water rights?
Yeah, we have to do that for the water availability analysis. That's sort of a technical component to that document that we submit to State Water Resources Control Board.
Do you anticipate doing something where there's outreach to Ag in order for them to see what conclusions are being developed?
Oh, absolutely. There's been good connection between the TAC, the Ag community, and the NCMA technical group, I believe. So we're now in the mode of sharing information among those three groups and meeting together as a single group, both under the umbrella of NCMA and also as the Zone 3 TAC.
Okay.
And that's an important process to make sure everybody understands what the effects of different alternatives are and whatnot.
And then on behalf of Oceano, the 2014 recharacterization issue was important to Oceano, and so I want to make sure to take the opportunity to thank all the agencies for the support of the waiver on that and for the work of Mark and Public Works in helping move that forward. I forgot to send you a CC on an email today to utilities because we had some questions as to the pricing on that, so I sent it to utilities and CC'd Sherry Weiss, and what's the pricing and what's the timing? So,
I made some preliminary inquiries to see if any of us were going to be horribly shocked. And on a preliminary basis, the answer was it shouldn't be anything horrific. But I was also informed that the finance folks are in the middle of their year-end closeout and operating on deadlines.
Well, if it takes them a while to bill us, we're okay with that.
Yeah. Well, it's the refunds that sometimes just take a long time.
Yes. Well, very good. Any other questions on the water supply update?
So I'm just curious to see, do we need to lobby our supervisors, and is there any chance that this could get derailed since there's no opposition among us, obviously, but...
I think the supervisors want to hear from the individual agencies about your comfort level with what's going on.
Okay.
Because I think when we get to the board, again, it's a challenge, not for those of us who've been eyeball deep in it for 3 years at the TAC and the county level, but a challenge for the board with everything they have going on to listen to a whole slew of new acronyms. You know, individual contacts from agencies saying, yeah, our people, we're part of that. We know what's going on.
Okay.
And then certainly, I know your technical people will read our staff report to make sure that we haven't mischaracterized something or got a number wrong so we don't accidentally foul something up at the last. But again, and then we'll communicate back to the agencies if there are any issues that come up with it.
John?
Yeah, I had a question, Mark. I can't remember... When do the downstream release provisions of the IDRIS kick in versus what we're doing now?
I think what we're doing now is consistent with the interim downstream release schedule. It looked at the key component of that was carefully monitoring our wintertime releases, not interfering with natural increase in flows in the creek, which there haven't been any natural increase in flows during the drought. But we wanted to make sure that opportunities to store water, wintertime water, for release in the summer were not being missed. And so far we've done that. And that was the addition of, you know, additional stream gauges, if you recall, to be able to accurately assess what's going on with that. So dropping down in the winter to a 3 CFS release rate, which seems to be, 3 CFS between there and 2.5. during some wet seasons, depending on the evapotranspiration going in the upper reaches of the creek, seems to be the bottom limit that we were looking for. And then we hold that as long as it's feasible, habitat-wise and whatever, to build up that storage so that. And then the other component is to work closely with the farmers to make sure that the water that we're using down the creek, which is that it's also used by the fish on its way down, that that's used efficiently. At the TAC, I don't know if you were at the last TAC meeting, we discussed the results of last year's efforts. And in that close coordination with the farmers in the upper creek above Arroyo Grande, we hit a downstream release of just under 3,100 acre feet, or the target of 38. But the concern was whether or not we were affecting groundwater levels on this side of Highway 101. So the agreement at that point was we went back to last year's week-by-week and month-by-month release numbers and did a preliminary adjustment to those, upped them, to try to make this year's release hit the 3,800 and then carefully track groundwater levels in the Valley Road Highway 1 area to see if we could benefit the situation there, because we're seeing a groundwater depression that's concerning. So the municipalities agreed that farmers were doing their part, and putting an extra 700 downstream into the groundwater was appropriate.
Well, maybe at the next TAC meeting, or maybe even coming back to this committee, it might be beneficial to review one more time how the IDRIS reacts or controls or modifies what we're doing with respect to the present management under the LLRP and so forth.
All right.
Finally, do you know how much water we have coming into the reservoir now, if any at all?
Fortunately, I don't. I don't have the latest numbers on the stream gauges.
Okay, thank you.
We do have just the one stream gauge on Lopez Creek. The others have to be inferred, but I haven't got a recent check on what those creeks look like.
Okay, thank you.
I guess if there's no other comments, my wrap-up comments are simply that we're in a new fiscal year, and I thought that there was some really good accomplishments last fiscal year. Certainly the LRRP was a big one, 2014 recharacterization, and then the work that the county is doing on the groundwater basins in response to the new legislation. But, of course, as we tackle one water supply issue, there's more that are popping up. So the TAC's been working on evaluating different alternatives to backfill for reductions in Lopez deliveries. And I know Jeff with Arroyo Grande has been doing a lot of work on that, and we're hoping to see that on the September agenda. We could probably talk about that a little bit more on our future agenda items. But it certainly seems like a prudent item to start moving up on the priority list, especially if the El Nino doesn't pan out, or if the drought, even if it does, you know, if the drought continues, we're going to have to sort of redouble the efforts, and how are we going to make up for lost water supplies. But again, thanks for a good year, Mark, and look forward to another good year.
Thank you.
Any public comment? Seeing none. Item 7, capital projects update.
Jeff Lee from Utilities will be giving this update.
Thank you. As John mentioned, I am Jeff Lee with County Public Works, and I do have the capital projects update for you this evening. A couple of things continuing. As Mr. Ogren mentioned, it is a new fiscal year, so we actually do have some projects starting as well. So just a quick update on the 6th rack addition. We are out to bid. We did have a pre-bid meeting yesterday at the plant, and unfortunately it was fairly obvious that the contractors had not become engaged in the project yet, i.e. they hadn't looked at their specs. And so we are actually going to delay that bid or extend that bid date to July 30th. So it'll hopefully we anticipate that a better round of bids will come in as a result of that. Heading to the turnout SCADA project, the new delivery date is, as mentioned, in late August, rather. We are looking at a date of August 20th for that, and that was a result of a manufacturing delay from a Honeywell sensor that was a very key component of one of the flow meters. Unfortunately, There was a run on them somewhere, is all they can tell us. They are trying to find the 11 that they need. If they come in earlier, we'll get the panels earlier. However, to manufacture them, it would be the late August delivery date. Everything else is underway and under contract in order to install them as soon as those arrive. The equipment replacement program, we have reinitiated several audits at the plant. A health and safety audit from the membranes through the Paul Corporation is the one that we're currently working on now. So more information to follow on that if we do need to make any updates or improvements as a part of those audits. So I'll turn over to the page to the continuing work efforts. As you can see, the sixth rack, the turnout SCADA, and then the equipment audit plan, those are all still proceeding. And then I'll flip back to the new work program for 15-16. And with the new budget approval, we do have a couple things happening at the dam as requested by the department, the DSOD, Division of Safety of Dams. They have asked us to look at the V-ditch, concrete V-ditch adjacent to the spillway. So we have started that effort. The parking lot at the treatment plant is being included in a resurfacing project that the Roads Division is doing. However, the Zone 3 budget will be providing the funding for that component of it. The 33-inch pigging project, the TAC did recommend and request delay of that implementation of that project. Obviously, that's a heavy water use component, and so the TAC is recommending that be delayed for a year. And then there is a project under consideration, which I'll talk about in a moment, the water treatment plant intake repair, and that could be funded more than completely through the delay of the pigging project and or savings from the 14-15 budget. So with that, I'm available for questions.
Yes, just kind of a general question regarding HCP. Do we have to install any more sensors to accommodate this new model for the HCP?
Actually, I will turn to Mr. Hutchinson, and it looks like he's
shaking
his head
no. Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm just curious if there's any tie in there. Thank you.
Jeff, how much is the road division going to charge us for this resurfacing on a square foot basis?
I don't have the square foot basis off number off the top of my head, but we did budget, I believe it was $90,000 for the effort. So, and it will be part of the larger resurfacing effort that Roads Division is doing. And so we anticipate a good per unit cost.
Is this something they put out to bid?
It will be, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, it will be under contract. It won't be county forces that do the work.
Excuse me, did you say 90,000?
I believe it was 90,000, but I would have to check the CIP. It was included in your CIP for this fiscal year.
Thank you.
The capital improvement program.
Thank you.
Sure.
Jeff, I know this is maybe a tech question, but I can't remember what the answer was as to whether the agencies along the pipeline will be able to integrate the data that is going to come off the SCADA system and inquire of the pressure and flow, for example, at the Avila turnout?
Mm-hmm. My understanding is that the configuration of the firewall will be such that each agency will be able to see their real-time data, and whether that be flow, whether that be temperature, the other elements that we're going to be reviewing. And so in talking with our IT department, there is the ability to do that with the SCADA. It will be a firewall component through the county system, and then we may need to assist the agencies or talk with your IT people about how that integrates with your system. But there is the opportunity for that, yes.
So we'll be able to see the information, but obviously we wouldn't be able to modify the operations.
That is correct. So okay. You would have to then still contact the plant through the normal channels to make any changes to the system.
Okay.
Yeah, so you'll be able
you.
To see it and make your decisions in a quicker fashion.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
And I think that's similar to how you're operating Nacimiento now?
That is correct. Yep.
Okay. It appears that we have an action item associated with the terminal dam intake repair, or a recommendation at least.
So actually, that is actually the
next item.
The next item, if you wanted to switch over to that item.
Okay, hold on a sec.
Okay.
Okay, on item 7B.
7B, okay. So we'll switch to the
okay.
Consideration of a maintenance project. And really this is more of a placeholder to kind of allow the advisory committee and the TAC to consider this. My understanding is the TAC did support the recommendation of making this a maintenance effort as long as the funding was available. It was an element within the Division of Dam Safety of Dams report that came back is we have a intake stabilization vertical member that is loose. It's not impacting the operation of the facility. However, it is a maintenance item that that they would like to see accomplished. And so we have done preliminary estimates of approximately $30,000. The reason for that level of effort is it will take two divers at a minimum to go down and do the work because of the water level, and it will need to be done at when the plant is not in operation. And so we are anticipating that the plant will shut down as part of the sixth rack project, and we could accomplish this maintenance effort at the same time. So what we're looking for this evening is just an acknowledgement of whether this is a good direction to proceed, and then as we come back in September for the budget item, or if you're comfortable with us moving forward this evening, we can prepare for this project prior to the September time.
So it sounds like DSOD is saying that this work needs to be done, and it appears that you've identified that you can do the work within the existing CIP funding?
Correct. Either with some savings from the security fence project last year, there was some savings that have been rolled over into this year or gone into reserves, so we could utilize those funds, or with the delay of the pigging project, we'd have more funding, more than ample funding to take on this project.
Any questions on that item?
Jeff, is there any danger of failure of that stabilizer affecting the operations of the dam, or is it more of just a maintenance issue because it's loose and needs to be tightened up?
More of a maintenance issue. I was just speaking with Joe Phillips before the meeting to confirm that it's not impacting the operation of the dam or the intake structure.
Okay.
So. Mr. Waggy?
Yeah, it sounds fine. But it's a safety issue then? Is that the issue?
It's more actually of a how's the best way to put it? You have the intake structure, and there's a float that goes up and down in a vertical member, and the guide is loose, and so the vertical stabilizer is moving around as the float goes up and down, and so there's some vibration. It's been this way for actually probably a number of years with no ill effects. When DSOD came out, they said, "You're going to fix that, right?" And so we said, "Yes, we'll move forward with that." And so that's how it got to be on their list. So
it sounds like the right answer is right. Okay,
yeah, correct.
Thank you.
Yeah,
sure.
And so the timing right now then is a function that you're going to be shutting down for the sixth rack, and might as well tackle this at the same time.
Correct. Yeah. So we might as well use the economy of the shutdown to accomplish the work.
And there are some safety issues.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, that's a really good idea. Makes sense to me.
Safety first.
Any public comment on this item? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll so move.
Second.
Oh, that's actually a great point. If do you have a preferred funding source for where this comes from? There's the two options.
So when I read the staff report, it said return in September 2015 to address funding based on anticipated savings from the FY14-15 CIP.
Mm-hmm. And I put in the savings could come from the perimeter security fence, but we do now have a secondary option. So because with a security fence, we would need to take the funding out of reserves where the because that's where the savings went after the end of the fiscal year. And so if we did go with the savings from the pigging project, we could transfer that internally. And because it is a maintenance project, it would not need to go to the board for approval.
And right now, you're not anticipating doing the pigging project this fiscal year anyhow?
Correct. At the tax recommendation, twofold item there, very high water need in order to accomplish the pigging. And the need for the pigging is because of the capacity of the pipe. And with the conservation efforts by the communities, the pipe capacity has not been an issue.
So would it then be, it sounds like your recommendation, modifying it from what's in the staff report, would be to utilize funding that's been allocated to the pigging project?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, currently there's 97,000 plus or minus in the CIP program for pigging in this year's efforts. So we would recommend or request a transfer of 30,000 into this maintenance effort. So in the event that the TAC did and the advisory committee did want to move forward with some effort on the pigging project, we could do that as
okay.
well.
So then for the motion maker and the second, I guess the question is a friendly amendment for a modified staff recommendation to allocate the money from the pigging project. And that would
sure.
avoid us yeah. having to come back and address it again in September.
Yeah, or if that works for you, or if you need even more flexibility, I'm prepared to do that. But I'll modify the motion, because my motion basically was adopting your recommendation and modify the motion to take the money from the pigging project, which is deferred. And
I agree.
Okay, so we have a modified motion, concurrence from the second, and we've had public comment. Any other discussion? All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? And hearing none, the motion passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. Looks like we don't have an item 8 or an item 9, so now we move on to item 10, future agenda items.
And yes, these will be future agenda items that Andrea brings back to you in the future, and I think you had mentioned earlier, Paavo, that you wanted to address one and maybe move it up on the list. Well, this list isn't in any sort of hierarchy. It's
okay.
just a compiled list.
So what I heard in tonight's discussion is, one, we'd like to have a quick review of the relationship between IDRIS and LRRP, a quick update. The other item I know that the TAC is working on is options for emergency supplies, and I think that would be really important to have on the September agenda. TAC is currently, you know, very engaged in that particular item.
Regardless if they have reached any conclusions or
after they've reached conclusions. On the anticipation that the TAC will have recommendations for the advisory committee, mm-hmm. I think that it's highly likely they will, just based on my general understanding of the work effort that they've undertaken so far.
Okay.
On contract renegotiations discussions, I don't think that will be ready for September. But with the adoption for 2014 recharacterization and tackling that particular item, we will be engaging in renegotiation discussions before the next Zone 3 meeting, but I imagine it's going to take a while, so whether we're ready for an update or not. On item 10C, funding of the groundwater modeling, I think we'll probably be addressing that, and TAC's going to be addressing that as well with their emergency supply options. We had a joint meeting with NCMA and NMMA maybe 2 months ago regarding groundwater modeling. And Public Works had indicated that, you know, it was probably about a six-month schedule that they needed in order to tackle some other items. So I think that one's going to come up pretty soon. But it seems for September, the emergency supplies and reviewing the IDRIS and the LRRP would be the more timely ones. Are there any other committee member comments or discussions?
Nope. I guess I'd like to know, so with contract renegotiation discussions, what exactly, what does that mean? What's on the table?
It's a placeholder here because the board of supervisors recommended or directed us to any contract negotiations be vetted through the advisory committee. So whatever is worked out between Mark's team and the municipalities and the contractors, any sort of changes get run by the advisory committee first. That's the intent of it as a placeholder here. So when it's ready for that discussion, we'd bring it forward because ultimately those contracts would go to the Board of Supervisors and they want to know what the advisory committee has felt.
That we have kind of signed off on that.
Been engaged.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know, off the top of my head, it'd be difficult to identify some of the higher priorities in that discussion. But one is the issue about the right to store water, because right now in Zone 3, the agencies don't have a storage right. And that, in my opinion, was relatively consistent with water rights. I mean, we saw it in state water. We saw it in Whale Rock, where if an agency doesn't use their water in a particular year, then it becomes available for others in subsequent years or through surplus water. And Whale Rock has, since their formation, converted to provide storage rights. State Water has made modifications where agencies have storage rights in San Luis Reservoir. And so the question is, should we have a mechanism to provide some storage rights at Lopez? And what to me that indicates is this sort of evolution of evaluating water on a year-to-year basis and whether or not it's been put to beneficial use, and if it's not, then the others should be able to use it, to the recognition that we really have to do multi-year water resource planning. And so if an agency is able to identify groundwater or other supplies, then should they be able to store some of their allocations behind Lopez if they don't use it in a particular year? And some of the discussions have sort of said, well, yes, that makes sense as long as there's limitations on storage rights. So again, Lopez, we don't have any storage rights, and is that something that we should be asking for? And then there's a number of, you know, other issues also that. So we've had some good discussions so far, nothing conclusive, and we're sort of we've been on hold a little bit because of the 2014 delivery issues and the recharacterization. So now we need to pick it back up. And kind of our next step is really to identify the issues that we want to really move forward on versus the ones that we don't want to move forward on.
Thank you.
Certainly.
I had a comment, I guess. Mark addressed it briefly, but it's been a little complicated on understanding better as to the cost of some of the programs that we're using and implementing here, the recharacterization and the deliveries and storage of water in the reservoir. And so at some point, maybe, again, it should come back to the TAC first, but it would be nice to pinpoint more of the cost implications of what we're looking at on some of these programs.
Any other questions or discussion?
Yeah.
Yes.
Very much.
And item 11, any other committee member comments?
Just I wanted to compliment the TAC and some of the members in the TAC have been working on other scenarios for scenarios that we would need to look at if we do have another dry winter. So I think the TAC's done a great job in the subcommittee that was established for that.
And my only other comment, my understanding is that work is underway for a South County Water Symposium. I believe that's being scheduled for August. Maybe Mr. English with Arroyo Grande can speak to that real briefly.
Certainly. Thank you.
Chairperson Ogren, members of the committee, Jeff English, Public Works Director, Arroyo Grande. There has been some discussion for some time about having a South County Water Symposium, and that discussion has been swirling around our organization for a while, and we have some momentum. Our Chamber of Commerce actually came to us with the idea, and there's a lot of interest, obviously, in water conservation and water, groundwater issues, and a whole variety of water challenges. And so on August 13th at 5:30 in the evening, we have secured the South County Regional Center. We have a partnership with the Arroyo Grande Grover Beach Chamber of Commerce, as well as our local Lions Club, which actually brought forward the idea as well, and they're going to participate by providing some food and drinks. We have secured a keynote speaker who is probably the most knowledgeable water expert in South County, and that's our own Jim Gehring. So we're excited about Jim presenting on this topic. And we also have secured Kacho Asajin to provide MC services for this symposium. And so we're hoping that you all will attend. You will be receiving information here in the next few weeks. We have a flyer that's in draft form that should be ready by the end of next week. We are still trying to secure a speaker on kind of some statewide water issues, and so if you have a recommendation on who that might be, I would appreciate hearing that. And the focus of our event is to educate residents on local water supply and conditions, educate residents about water conservation tools and options, and then primarily, even if it rains, we need permanent change to our water use habits. And so trying to hit home those themes. And so hopefully you can make it. You will get more information here in the next couple of weeks. Be happy to answer any questions that you
might
have.
Could you say the date and time again?
August 13th, 5:30 p.m., South County Regional Center.
Thank you.
And I will make sure that a copy of this is sent to all of you. And I believe we have an email address for them, John.
Yes.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ed.
Yeah, I just had a comment. We had a water workshop yesterday in Pismo Beach, and our public works director did advise us that we did meet our 24% water cut.
Oh, congratulations.
Good
job. Yeah.
Good.
And on the symposium, I think it may be a good idea for all the agencies to get that on our websites, so get the word out. Any other committee member comments? And hearing none. We will be adjourned now. Next regular meeting is tentatively scheduled for Thursday, September 17th at 6:30 p.m. at the City of Grover Beach. And thank you, everybody.
Good. You get the host.